All right, thank God for bringing us together. Welcome back to our plenary indulgence to praying with scripture time. Most of all, we just pray the Psalms. We pray different readings from the Old and New Testament, both by speaking to God through them and through listening. So this is actually part of the church's prayer. It's even considered, you know, an apostolic tradition, an indirect kind of way, not the book itself, but praying with the Psalms and praying with scriptures is something the apostles always did with their disciples and among themselves, even when they were alone. So here we go. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. We forgot to pray the Pope's monthly intentions, and we also want to pray that invitatory. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing for joy. Know that he, the Lord, is God. He made us. We belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. Go within his gates, giving thanks. Enter his courts with songs of praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Indeed, how good is the Lord, eternal his merciful love. He is faithful from age to age. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Let's pray for the Holy Father's monthly intentions. Let us pray that the use of new technologies will not replace human relationships, will respect the dignity of the person, and will help us face the crises of our times. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. Psalm 18, 2-30 is our prayer, thanksgiving for salvation and victory. At that time, there was a violent earthquake. Revelation 11, 15. I love you, Lord, my strength. My rock, my fortress, my savior. My God is the rock where I take refuge. My shield, my mighty help, my stronghold. The Lord is worthy of all praise. When I call, I am saved from my foes. The waves of death rose about me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The snares of the grave entangled me. The traps of death confronted me. In my anguish, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. In honor of Mary's gifts from God our Father, pour out your love, your blessing, and your power upon us. Protect us and help us. I want to pray especially for the youngster in my class and everything else we need to do for ourselves and for our families this last part of Lent. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord has saved me. He wanted me for his own. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The mountains were shaken to their base. They reeled at his terrible anger. Smoke came forth from his nostrils and scorching fire from his mouth. Coals were set ablaze by its heat. He lowered the heavens and came down, a black cloud under his feet. He came enthroned on the cherubim. He flew on the wings of the wind. He made the darkness his covering, the dark waters of the clouds his tent. A brightness shone out before him, with hailstones and flashes of fire. The Lord thundered in the heavens. The Most High let his voice be heard. He shot his arrows, scattered the foe, flashed his lightnings and put them to flight. The bed of the ocean was revealed. The foundation of the earth were laid bare. At the thunder of your threat, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your anger. From on high he reached down and seized me. He drew me forth from the mighty waters. He snatched me from my powerful foe, from my enemies whose strength I could not match. They assailed me in the day of my misfortune, but the Lord was my support. He brought me forth into freedom. He saved me because he loved me. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, help all catechists who teach simply and purely in their catechism classes, especially for young people and children and high schoolers, but especially, Lord, be with us now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord has saved me. He wanted me for his own. Antiphon 3. Lord, kindle a light for my guidance and scatter my darkness. He rewarded me because I was just, repaid me for my hands were clean. For I have kept the way of the Lord and have not fallen away from my God. For his judgments are all before me. I have never neglected his commands. I have always been upright before him. I have kept myself from guilt. He repaid me because I was just, and my hands were clean in his eyes. You are loving with those who love you. You show yourself perfect with the perfect. With the sincere, you show yourself sincere, but the cunning you outdo in cunning. For you save a humble people, but humble the eyes that are proud. You, O Lord, are my lamp, my God who lightens my darkness. With you I can break through any barrier. With my God I can scale any wall. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts and the Holy Spirit, take care of our needs and help us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Lord, kindle a light for my guidance and scatter my darkness. Turn back to the Lord and do penance. Be renewed in heart and spirit. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 6, 9 through 20. So again, this is picking up at kind of an odd spot. We skipped a few chapters, but the church will come back to them later on during Holy Week. The fidelity of God is our hope. Beloved, even though we speak in this way, we are persuaded of better things in your regard, things pointing to your salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him by your service, past and present, to his holy people. Our desire is that each of you show the same zeal to the end, fully assured of that for which you hope. Do not grow lazy, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, are inheriting the promises. When God made his promise to Abraham, he swore by himself, having no one greater to swear by, and said, I will indeed bless you and multiply you. And so, after patient waiting, Abraham obtained what God had promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves. An oath gives firmness to a promise and puts an end to all argument. God, wishing to give the heirs of the promise even clearer evidence that his purpose would not change, guaranteed it by oath, so that by two things that are unchangeable, in which he could not lie, we who have taken refuge in him might be strongly encouraged to seize the hope that is placed before us. Like a sure and firm anchor, that hope extends beyond the veil through which Jesus, our forerunner, has entered on our behalf, being made high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus, our forerunner, has passed beyond the veil on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever of the order of Melchizedek. For all eternity he lives and intercedes for us, because he can never lose his priesthood. There is no limit to his power to save all who come to God through him. For all eternity he lives and intercedes for us. Second reading is from a commentary on the Psalms by St. Ambrose, Bishop. Jesus Christ prays for us and in us and is the object of our prayers. I'm sorry, did I say St. Ambrose? What is going on with me? St. Augustine of Hippo is the author here that is passed down in tradition. God could give no greater gift to men than to make his word, through whom he created all things, their head, and to join them to him as his members, so that the Word might be both Son of God and Son of Man, one God with the Father, and one man with all men. The result is that when we speak with God in prayer, we do not separate the Son from him, and when the body of the Son prays, it does not separate its head from itself. It is the one Savior of his body, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who prays for us and in us and is himself the object of our prayers. He prays for us as our priest. He prays in us as our head. He is the object of our prayers as our God. Let us then recognize both our voice in his and his voice in ours. When something is said, especially in prophecy, about the Lord Jesus that seems to belong to a condition of lowliness unworthy of God, we must not hesitate to ascribe this condition to one who did not hesitate to unite himself with us. Every creature is his servant, for it was through him that every creature came to be. We contemplate his glory and divinity when we listen to these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. Here we gaze on the divinity of the Son of God, something supremely great and surpassing all the greatness of his creatures. Yet in other parts of Scripture we hear him as one sighing, praying, giving praise and thanks. We hesitate to attribute these words to him because our minds are slow to come down to his humble level when we have just been contemplating him in his divinity. It is as though we were doing him an injustice in acknowledging in a man the words of one with whom we spoke when we prayed to God. We are usually at a loss and try to change the meaning. Yet our minds find nothing in Scripture that does not go back to him, nothing that will allow us to stray from him. Our thoughts must then be awakened to keep their vigil of faith. We must realize that the one whom we were contemplating a short time before, in his nature as God, took to himself the nature of a servant. He was made in the likeness of man and found to be a man like others. He humbled himself by being obedient even to accepting death. As he hung on the cross, he made the psalmist's words his own. My God, why have you forsaken me? We pray to him as God. He prays for us as a servant. In the first case, he is the creator, in the second, a creature. Himself unchanged, he took to himself our created nature in order to change it, and made us one man with himself, head and body. We pray then to him, through him, in him, and we speak along with him, and he along with us. Responsory prayer. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I promise you that the Father will give you anything you ask for in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And I pray that despite all the work and all the distractions and all the different things that make me feel pressed for time, I will have joy each day that I live here and work for you in a state of grace. I pray for more joy, for deeper joy for me and for you as we go about searching again for our way of dialoguing with Christ, our divine head and bridegroom. And let us go on to the evening prayers, and we'll pray them too. Then we'll ask for a plenary indulgence or equivalent graces, because sometimes you have to say, okay, I want an equivalent, because sometimes something prevents us from going to Mass or going to one of the other technically, legalistically specific requirements. And of course, you do want to make an effort to fulfill all those things, because they're not just arbitrary, but they're things the Church has chosen because they're the greatest offers of grace and works that we can offer if we do those things in the right, in a spirit, in a personal relationship with Jesus. But at the same time, it's good, I think, to ask our Father, who's very generous, for equivalencies if we're trying really hard to do this important work of doing indulgenced works, which is, it's something that's not the way people often think, but it's something that has a profound impact. It helps us become better Christians. And that's part of the reason they set up, okay, you can have a reward. If you do this, you get to do a special blessing that helps your life become easier. I think I wrote something about that, helping us understand why temporal punishment isn't just. Because people automatically think of it in a very, very Tridentine, you know, they kind of think, oh, it's just that thing. It's the legal debt that I owe God, and now the Church is writing me an IOU. But there's more to it than that. You know, Thomas Aquinas says that temporal punishment is what Moses went through when he couldn't enter the Promised Land. So it also impacts our lives here. It's not just an IOU for purgatory, but it impacts our lives here as well. A short instruction, but moving on. The Lord is my light and my help. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 27. God stands by us in dangers. God now truly dwells with me. Revelation 21:3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I like that. We'll use that Revelation 21:3 as an antiphon. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Before whom shall I shrink? God now truly dwells with me. When evildoers draw near to devour my flesh, it is they, my enemies and foes, who stumble and fall. God now truly dwells with me. Though an army encamp against me, my heart would not fear. Though war break out against me, even then would I trust. God now truly dwells with me. There is one thing I ask of the Lord, for this I long: to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to savor the sweetness of the Lord, to behold his temple. God now truly dwells with me. For there he keeps me safe in his tent in the day of evil. He hides me in the shelter of his tent. On a rock he sets me safe. God now truly dwells with me. And now my head shall be raised above my foes who surround me, and I shall offer within his tent a sacrifice of joy. God now truly dwells with me. I will sing and make music for the Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. God now truly dwells with me. I long to look on you, O Lord. Do not turn your face from me. Some rose to present lies and false evidence against Jesus. Mark 14:57. O Lord, hear my voice when I call. Have mercy and answer. Of you my heart has spoken. Seek his face. I long to look on you, O Lord. Do not turn your face from me. It is your face, O Lord, that I seek. Hide not your face. Dismiss not your servant in anger. You have been my help. I long to look on you, O Lord. Do not turn your face from me. Instruct me, Lord, in your way. On an even path, lead me. When they lie in ambush, protect me from my enemies' greed. False witnesses rise against me, breathing out fury. I long to look on you, O Lord. Do not turn your face from me. I am sure I shall see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Hope in him. Hold firm and take heart. Hope in the Lord. I long to look on you, O Lord. Do not turn your face from me. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Father, you protect and strengthen those who hope in you. You heard the cry of your Son, and kept him safe in your tent in the day of evil. Look upon all those who are tried sorely, and interiorly come to their aid. Keep them safe despite the way it looks. Grant to us, your servants, to look into your face in times of trouble, and see your goodness in the land of the living. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I long to look on you, O Lord. Do not turn your face from me. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. He is the firstborn of all creation. In every way, the primacy is his. And our New Testament prayer is now from Paul's letter to the Colossians, 8 verses, very powerful though. Christ, the firstborn of all creation and the firstborn from the dead. Let us give thanks to the Father for having made you worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Through him we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creatures. In him everything in heaven and on earth was created, things visible and invisible. All were created through him, all were created for him. He is before all else that is. In him everything continues in being. It is he who is head of the body, the church. He who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead. So that primacy may be his in everything, it pleased God to make absolute fullness reside in him, and by means of him to reconcile everything in his person, both on earth and in the heavens, making peace through the blood of his cross. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. He is the firstborn of all creation. In every way, the primacy is his. Ephesians 4, a reading from Ephesians 4. Be kind to one another, compassionate and mutually forgiving, just as God has forgiven you in Christ. Be imitators of God as his dear children. Follow the way of love, even as Christ loved you. He gave himself up for us as an offering to God, a gift of pleasing fragrance. To you, O Lord, I make my prayer for mercy. To you, O Lord, I make my prayer for mercy. Hear, O heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. I make my prayer for mercy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. To you, O Lord, I make my prayer for mercy. Canticle of Mary. Why are you bent on killing me when I have told you the truth? Again, a reference to the story in Jesus's, the memory of Jesus in the Gospel today. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Why are you bent on killing me when I have told you the truth? Intercessions. Blessed be Almighty God, who watches over us as a father. He knows all our needs, but wants to seek for us to seek first his kingdom. Let us cry out to him as his people. May your kingdom come, that justice may reign. Father of all holiness, you gave us Christ as the shepherd of our souls. Stay with your shepherds and the flock entrusted to them. Do not leave the flock without the loving care of its shepherd. Do not leave your shepherds without an obedient flock to follow them. Teach Christians to help the weak with loving care, and in serving them to serve your Son. Gather into your church those who do not yet believe, and help them to build it up by good deeds done for love of you. Help us to turn to you for forgiveness, and as you forgive us, reconcile us also with your church. May the dead pass from this world to eternal life, to be with you forever. Pray for Bill, for his intentions. I pray for Henry, for his intentions. I pray for Father Rob, especially as he goes into this next phase, for his online and in-person preaching to be inflamed by the fatherly love of the Holy Spirit and be passionately in love with God's will and with God's church. We pray for all of us for our upcoming implementation of this synod, that lay Catholics will take up the mantle that they've been given here, take ownership of their faith, and start building up the church through their own words and spirituality. We pray for all the people in desperate need throughout the world. Pray that we can still get some good works of charity in, whether through prayer, word, or deed, in these last few days of Lent. May your kingdom come, that justice may reign. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Father of mercy, hear the prayers of your repentant children, who call to you in love. Enlighten our minds and sanctify our hearts. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. So to review yesterday's Handing on the Faith segment, we talked about that petition, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. So as implies this, quote, strict requirement, unquote, that we need to open our hearts to recognize the depth and the richness of God the Father's personal and perfect love, so that recognizing this and recognizing the ways in which we often fall short of that, we then are permeated by this infinite divine mercy. Without being able to forgive others, without making the decision to want to let them off the hook, we cannot be penetrated, or our hearts can't be penetrated when they remain self-righteous or obstinate, by God's fatherly outpouring of mercy. So again, that's a process. We may have to do it over and over again, but the main thing is that we make an act and we say, yes, I forgive that person. And in any case, continue to work on all those different things, to recognize more of God's love being poured into our hearts. So that's part of the forgiveness of our brothers and sisters, so that we don't become impervious to the Father in heaven's merciful love. One thing that really helps with this is confessing our sins in the sacrament of reconciliation. This helps us go through our own process of identifying the ways in which we have again fallen short and even hurt and wounded the Heavenly Father, because He has a profound relationship with us. And it makes Him sad and upset when we defile ourselves, or when we fail to live out happiness without the beauty of what He created us to be, I guess is a better way of putting that. So we need to have private prayer, we need to have confession, and we have the efficacious and undoubted sign of His forgiveness in the Eucharist and reconciliation. The only way Father Seraphim used to say that we will ever be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect is by being merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful, as Luke says, tells that part of the Gospel. And another commandment that uses the word as. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And it's good to know we also bear the name of God within ourselves because of our baptism, because of being inundated with the fire of the Holy Spirit and marked with His seal. We bear the name of God on and within ourselves. And people know the name of the Father in heaven by our behaviors and our actions, and the way in which we are able to forgive one another is a big part of that. So the Catechism just redirects us to the love of the Trinity and their character to explain that. And now we're going to go back and do a little catechesis on daily bread, which I think is one of the most interesting and surprising parts of the Catechism that I've read so far. So we're going to pick up right here on the fourth petition of the Our Father at CCC 2828. I could always remember those double 28s, you know? Double numbers I always remember. "Give us the trust of children who look to their Father for everything is beautiful. He makes His sun rise on the good and on the evil, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He gives to all the living their food in due season, as the psalm says. Jesus teaches us this petition because it glorifies our Father by acknowledging how good He is beyond all goodness. Give us also expresses the covenant. We are His and He is ours for our sake. But this us also recognizes Him as the Father of all men, and we pray to Him for them all, in solidarity with their needs and sufferings." Again, that word solidarity just means that we're all joining together, solid to solid, arm to arm, as one, molded together. So it carries some Latin implications, but the Church continues, "Our bread, the Father who gives us life, cannot but give us the nourishment life requires, all appropriate goods and blessings, both material and spiritual. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus insists on the filial trust that cooperates with our Father's providence. He is not inviting us to idleness, but wants to relieve us from nagging worry and preoccupation, such as the filial surrender of the children of God." Then it has one of those powerful illustrative quotes from St. Cyprian. "To those who seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He has promised to give all else besides. Since everything indeed belongs to God, he who possesses God wants for nothing, if he himself is not found wanting before God. But the presence of those who hunger because they lack bread opens up another profound meaning of this petition. The drama of hunger in the world calls Christians who pray sincerely to exercise the responsibility toward their brethren, both in their personal behavior and in their solidarity with the human family. This petition of the Lord's Prayer cannot be isolated from the parables of the poor man Lazarus and of the Last Judgment." And then we're just going to touch this off with the big paragraph, skipping ahead to 2837. "Daily," in Greek, that word occurs nowhere else in the New Testament. Taken in a temporal sense, this word is a pedagogical repetition of this day, to confirm us in trust without reservation. Taken in the qualitative sense, it signifies what is necessary for life, and more broadly, every good thing sufficient for subsistence. Taken literally, ip ustos, super essential, it refers directly to the bread of life, the body of Christ, the medicine of immortality, without which we have no life within us. Finally, in this connection, its heavenly meaning is evident. This day is the day of the Lord, the day of the feast of the kingdom, anticipated in the Eucharist, that is already the foretaste of the kingdom to come. For this reason, it is fitting for the Eucharistic liturgy to be celebrated every day. And then it has another illustrative quote from St. Augustine. The Eucharist is our daily bread. The power belonging to this divine food makes it a bond of union. Its effect is then understood as unity, so that gathered into his body and made members of him, we may become what we receive, .. This also is our daily bread, the readings that you hear each day in church, and the hymns you sing and hear. All these are necessities for our pilgrimage. And St. Peter Chrysologus says, the Father in heaven urges us as children of heaven to ask for the bread of heaven. Christ himself is the bread who, sown in the Virgin, raised up in the flesh, kneaded in the Passion, baked in the oven of the tomb, reserved in churches, brought to altars, furnishes the faithful each day with food from heaven. So I just offer my blessing of the plenary indulgence or equivalent graces. I found out we can actually get two according to the laws of the Church during this year of hope. But I offer this one for the soul in purgatory, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.